Our first reading today is from Psalms 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
Our second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4 through 10. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves.
Please stand for the scripture reading. Our verse is from 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 11. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will do anything wrong, that you not do anything wrong. Not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. This is why I write these things, when I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority, the authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Please be seated. So, 3 weeks ago, Mike and I got together to figure out the last, I suppose, 3 weeks of how the services were going to be done for preaching. And Mike came to, and I came to Mike, and I was like, "Well, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me for a little while," and I was like, "I kind of wanted to do a sermon series, and I had lots of ideas." Came to mind, but the one that came to mind that we both liked was the one on unity. And I thought it was kind of fitting only because 3 weeks ago the church doctors got back to us with us doing action plans and working together, coming together, and Mike agreed. And so Mike agreed that he would do the first week and then I would do the second week, and we're like, "Well, what about the third week?" And Mike was like, "Well, we should do something together." And I was like, "We both do the sermon?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "All right." So here we are 3 weeks later, and we're both tackling the how wrapping up unity. I know it's a hard topic to talk about, but I think over the last 3 weeks, we started to see some things unfold, things that we can chew on, things that we can start to see how to live. And so today we're just going to wrap these things up. And so part of the one that I wanted to talk about was teams. going off of Romans. Romans kind of carried off of last week, where it talks about the body and the body having these many, many different pieces, right? If your gift is to prophesy, then you prophesy. If your gift is to encourage, then do it and give encouragement. We were discussing this yesterday with like different translations. And obviously in the YouVersion Bible app, if anyone has it, you can scroll through and there's like a bajillion of them in there, more than your brain can probably fathom. But there was a couple of them that we really liked. The Message is one of them that I really like, that Mike likes. The New Living is someone pretty common. For those of us that don't know, I like the ESV now. The ESV is something that I like. It's more of a, it does the literal word, and it also has a little bit of thought in it. And it's kind of nice in the Christian Standard Bible and all these different translations and what they were saying. But they all were saying the same thing. Whatever your gift is, do it with passion, right? If there is one part that's weak, it's not necessarily weak. And I wanted to give this analogy. How many people here played a sport or watch basketball, or they watch football, they watch baseball even? I'm sure some people do. So for me, I played a lot of sports in high school. I was in track, I was in football, I was in basketball, and then even in CrossFit, there's events that we do in CrossFit. And each part, when it comes to basketball or baseball, there's obviously these different positions, right? You got your pitcher, you got your catcher. Football, you got your quarterback, who is the leader of the team. And basketball, you got your point guard, who is like the general, the field general, right? He controls the flow of the game, passes the ball, calls out plays, right? But not everybody on that team is a point guard, right? Or not everybody on the team is a pitcher. Not everybody on the football field is a quarterback, right? You need the individual pieces. You need the guys on the linemen that are the bigger boys, right? In basketball, you need those tall centers. You need the point guards, right? You need the person who is really good at shooting, right? You can't all be good shooters because then everybody's going to want to shoot the ball and nothing will ever be done, right? You got to have the guys on the inside of the paint, just like in CrossFit when we work out. Some people are really good with moving a barbell, lifting weights. Some people are really good with cardio. And when there's events and it involves doing these different things and strengths and weaknesses, the people who are really good can help you take that load off of what you're not so good at. And it's the same thing inside the church. And it's also the same thing outside of the church. There are many, many people with many, many different gifts. I know some of us don't know all of the gifts of the Spirit, but the one who are supposed to teach, you're supposed to teach, right? If you're going to preach, preach. If you're going to give encouragement, give encouragement. If you're going to prophesy, then prophesy. And each one of these gifts are not lower than the other. They're the same. And when it comes to basketball or baseball, even the ones sitting on the bench are valuable, important. In basketball, I was the sixth man. The sixth man is a person who comes off the bench. And I remember it because when I was in 11th grade, we were playing against the number six team in state. And they were a rival of ours. I think I was a junior. And I remember coming off the bench, and I was always nervous because I was a really good shooter. Not going to boast, but I was a good shooter. That's all I could do from when I was a little kid up to my senior year. That's all I could do. But I came off the bench, and we ended up losing by 2 points, but I couldn't miss for like however many times. And then there was also kids on our team who helped us along the way as well on the bench, who the ones on the bench, they kind of take that load off of the starters, right? They come in, you change things up, but they're not less valuable. They're very, very important because without them, if there was only 5 people and that's all we had, man, your team would get burnt out, right? You got to have the people coming off the bench. You got to have the ones that, you know, they're still valuable. And it's the same thing inside of the church body, right? Every now and then a pastor or a preacher, they need a break, right? And there are still people here in our church, outside of the church, and they need we need help, right? We can't do everything on our own. We need help. And there are people here who have gifts that we need to utilize these gifts. And so remember that teams are made up of different people, different races, different ethnicities and backgrounds. And that background that they come from is just as important as the background that you come from, that I come from. And it all works together for building the body of Christ.
All right. As Jared was speaking last Sunday, I was taking notes. And he was more of a sports type kid. I wasn't into sports. I was out in the garage tinkering with things. That was sort of my thing. And always taking things apart. And sometimes I got them back together and they actually worked, you know. And I learned through the process. So I'm always thinking like engines and things like that. So as he's speaking about the body of Christ last time, and he's reading from 1 Corinthians, it would not for that reason see, or excuse me, I didn't, back you up. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? So I'm hearing it, and I'm thinking, okay, this is sort of like an engine. Now, this is going to devolve a little bit into guy talk, and if you don't really know engines, hey, you're going to learn something along the way at least. And some of you will connect better with this than others. But I'm thinking, okay, if everybody's a push rod, where's the oil pump? And the engine's not going to run without an oil pump. It'll run for a little bit, but very quickly it's going to seize up on you. Or if everybody's a carburetor, where's the spark plug? We might be great carburetors. We're mixing fuel and air in the correct proportion. We're responding to a need for more power and all those things. But if there's no spark, it's not going to ignite, and again, the engine won't run. It's necessary to have all these parts for a good running engine there. We also have to have good fuel. So with our body here, our congregation, we have to fuel it as well. And fueling with the Spirit of God and His Word, that's it, right? We're not talking low-grade fuel. We're talking high octane, right? Like my motorcycle, I always put the 91 in my motorcycle. I get the high octane. I should stop by the airport sometime and put aircraft fuel in there, see what happens. But anyway, we have to be fueling our body as well. Just like we take care of our physical bodies, we need to take care of our church body, our congregation. Very important. And your engine, you always keep an eye on the gauges. Every once in a while, you just do a quick scan, make sure that the oil pressure is good, that the alternator is working, and things like that. And we need to constantly assess also how we're performing. And if there's anything acting up a little bit, how can we take measures to correct it before it becomes a problem? Some of us, maybe the check engine light comes on and it's still running good, so we'll just go as long as I don't hear anything or feel anything wrong. But no, it's there for a purpose, isn't it? And if that check engine light comes on, that means that we need to probably stop by and get it diagnosed, figure out what it is before it becomes a big problem. And if the check engine light ever starts flashing instead, then time to pull over the side of the road, okay? There, we've got something major that we need to address. So if you ever see that, keep that in mind. So we have to monitor the health of our congregation and that unity that we have, to be efficient, to be that team, like Jared said there, to avoid burnout, like you said, let others take the place at times as well. And sometimes, yes, even to read the manual. Okay, for us guys, that sort of goes against, we don't like to read the manual, but it's there for a purpose, and sometimes you have to turn to the service manual. But if we're not sure what to do, well, yeah, we've got a manual, all right? Right there, exactly, amen. And this manual, yeah, has more wisdom than we can ever conceive. And it has directions for how to maintain unity, how to create unity, how to bring others in. When we think of maintenance, many times we think about fixing what's wrong. But there's also preventive maintenance. In the military, we call it PMCS, Preventive Maintenance Checks and Services. Anytime you sign out a 2.5-ton truck or something like that, you have to go through, check the oil, check the air filter, all these things, make sure the electrical system, make sure it's all running right. So preventive maintenance is great in that it can save us a lot of problems down the road. And that's sometimes something that we need to do. Can a truck or a car run without certain parts? Maybe, but not as efficiently. And when it comes to the engine, you got to have every part. Every part has a function, like we heard here. Maybe you're just the little lock washer that's holding the end cap on the connecting rod. Seems like a small, insignificant part, but try leaving it off there sometime and see what happens, right? That nut vibrates loose, the connecting rod is thrown, knocks a hole in the block, and we got big problems. So everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. In closing out the engine part, I was thinking about years ago, I used to be a mechanic before I became a teacher. I worked on airplanes for a living. And someone had once described an airplane as thousands of parts flying together in close formation. And if some of those parts leave or don't do their job, yeah, bad things can happen. So anyway, as an engine then, we have an output. We create power. We do useful work. We do useful work for God. We have to make sure that we got the right fuel coming in. We got to make sure that we're checking the manual to make sure that we're doing things right. We got to pay attention. If something's running a little bit off, get it looked at, figure it out, so that we can come together in unity once again. And it's a little more complicated because we're made up of people. Now, if everything was mechanical, it would be so much easier. Okay, mechanical things don't have opinions. They don't have thoughts. They don't have emotions. They don't get offended. All these other possible things that can happen with people. People have way too many variables. You know, with my logical mind and engines, oh, no problem. They just do this, this, this. But we all have to cooperate together. We all have to work together. And again, it's not about us, right? It's about God. So when we start getting too human, when our own opinions and things like that starting to get blown out of proportion, we got to remember what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about Him and serving Him. So teams and engines were two things that we saw as examples of unity. A third one we saw was the military. Both of us have been in the military. Jared, as many of you know, was a Marine, and I, of course, was in the Army. And I'd like to take this opportunity to publicly apologize for all the Marine jokes I've ever told. There's a little bit of rivalry between the two sometimes, and yeah. And I'm sure that the Marines have some sort of function somewhere, somehow, that they are useful there, and I'll try to remember that. What? Okay. Yeah, so we were comparing notes on that, and I'll try to do better about telling Marine jokes, but maybe we can still both tell Navy jokes or something, huh? Okay. Yes.
Do you know what Army stands for?
Do I know what Army stands for?
Ain't ready for Marines yet.
Ain't ready for Marines yet, okay. Okay. Nice. Your son is a Marine too, okay. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yeah, we can laugh together, and we're all different, right? We have different backgrounds, we have different missions, we have different jobs, but together we form the body of Christ. And having the diversity, that's a strength, having different parts there. It's the same way in the military. We all have different roles. Or some of the things that you saw there where people had different MOSs or jobs or roles.
I have a little bit of a testimony about it. I remember we were in California. So I was a reservist, so I wasn't active duty, but we were in California, I'm trying to remember the base, I can't remember, but it's in 29 Palms. So you go there, we did our two-week training there. And at our unit, we're a really small unit, and I was a lower ranking person, so if there was like the grunt stuff to do, like cleaning stuff up, or if there was people who needed help in the chow hall, and I had to go do it. Well, part of my other job was supply, the logistical side of things. So we're basically, our two-week training is like what we would do if we were, you know, overseas, preparing us for that. And so I, after a long day of working all day with people who are higher up that had all these questions and demands, and I had to say yes, no, with lots of respect, and I'm tired, and it's hot, it's like 100 some degrees outside. I come back, and they're like, you gotta go work in the chow hall too. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It's the worst job. The over there, the chow hall is like the worst job. It's like, why do I gotta do this, right? And so with that, we were working with, so we have different sister units. So it's our unit is like an airfield style one. We have like three or four different ones that are sisters from different states. And so this one state, they have chow hall Marines because their unit is big enough on drill weekends that they can utilize them. So they have them at their unit. Well, when they go out to the field, they're doing their job. So they're making breakfast, they're making lunch, and they're making dinner. And so we had to go and help them. We had to go help them set stuff up, you know, put chairs up and clean stuff and give people food. And I did not want to do it at all, not whatsoever. And I get in there and I'm all, you know, slunched over, not wanting to do anything. And there's this guy. He was probably about 5 years older than me. And this guy loved to serve food to people. And when I mean loved it, I mean he was talking to everybody like, how's your meal? How's this? How's that? And I'm looking at him like, do you not know what job you do? Like, how can you like this job? And it kind of, as he started talking, I started to get how I was feeling started to change because I'm like, man, like this guy loves his job. Like, that's what you want. You want people that love their job. His job wasn't any less important than what I was doing. He was just so passionate about his job because that was his gifting. He loved to serve people. So he was just serving people in a different avenue than what I was or what other people were doing. And he was so passionate. I told him, I said, your enthusiasm actually helped me feel better. And he started to cry. He started to cry because that was like something that he just really, really loved to do. And it just really, really spoke to me about, you know, there are times here at church when there is something that we're doing and, man, we're getting sick of it. We're getting tired of it, right? We're tired of, you know, no one getting involved. Or we're tired of certain people that we're dealing with. And there's this one person that can just, that's just so passionate, that just loves what they do. They love to serve people. Could seem to be in our ranking of in our heads about jobs, this could seem like the lowest job, but this person just really, really loves to do it. And so don't be afraid to walk up to that person and just thank them. Thank them for what they do and thank them for their passion and their enthusiasm, because you never know, their enthusiasm could also lift you up.
We read in Romans and also in Corinthians that we all have different gifts, and when we're operating within those gifts, we have a joy in doing that, like you had with that gentleman that was the cook there. If you were put in that position, probably not your gifting, and you wouldn't have the same joy. The same thing here, it talks about those that have administrative gifts, that's not me. Those that preach, I love getting up here and sharing God's word. You know, that's my thing. But when it comes to administrative, I thank God that we have people like Monica who does the administrative end of it. She has the gift for that. Some of you have the gift of encouraging others. Some have the gift of mercy and compassion or of giving. And when you're operating within those gifts, it just feels right. And you're just doing your part. And then together, we form that. Now, we have to communicate between these two. And that was important in the military as well, as communication. Very, very important. To coordinate efforts, you have to communicate. And the same thing here. Dorothy's been doing a wonderful job of communicating through these times that we've been navigating, keeping everybody informed and up to date in what's happening. That's of great importance. Again, like the military, we're all individuals. We're part of a squad. We have people that do that. And then we're part of a platoon, like maybe our congregation. And then you're part of a company, which is like a denomination. And then you're part of a battalion, which is higher yet, where we got, you know, the body of Christ. So we got levels of organization as well there. And the communication, very, very important. Any other military examples that are really speaking to you on the unity, the communication? And
for me, I was supply. That was my job. And we always had to work with other people. So even in our own, like, unit, there was, like, we were made up of, like, you know, can't even think of the word. Well, like communications, so people who are in charge of the radios, and you got people that are in charge of the equipment, and then you got supply, who gives people gear, and then you got the armory, who is in charge of the weapons and taking serial numbers and cleaning stuff, and all of us are important because when we all go out to the field and we're doing our training exercises, you need supply. Like, you need them to provide you the gear. You need the guys with the vehicles that can transport the supply stuff to other people, right? You need the mechanics that maybe the drivers don't know how to do it, but the mechanics, they're in charge of fixing those vehicles, right? You got the armors that are in charge of cleaning your weapons, so that way when your weapon has a malfunction and you don't know what to do, you look at an armor. And even on the fuel side, we had the Air Force or the air fuel. So the guys who are like the firefighters in the military, they're important too because those officers who are flying the airplanes, when they come down and there's a fire on the runway, they need those guys to go there and clean that stuff up. So even like the job supply, we always got a bad rap. People just thought our job was just dumb. And to be honest, I didn't like it most of the time, but it was valuable, it was important, because if someone needed some gear, they needed food, or they needed water, we had to be the ones to get into the vehicles to go give it to them out in the front lines. So don't think that what you're dealing with or what gift or what job you have is less valuable, because it's not. It's just as important as someone else's. It really is.
In regard to the opportunity to do more in these areas too, we've identified as deacons using the church doctor's recommendations, was it 8 different areas, I believe, or 9? Okay, where we're going to be forming committees and have people a chance to get involved in ways that speak to them. Swede's sort of heading this up, and then we're going to getting subcommittees together, and we're going to be building this. And again, unity, everybody having a part in the action here and doing it. Our enemy, of course, does not like unity. Our enemy seeks to create division at every turn. He does not like seeing us work together. He knows how effective we are when we are united. There's an old military maxim to divide and conquer, a proven technique. If you can divide the enemy, you can conquer them much easily. You break them up into small parts and they don't communicate. If you can create disloyalty or mutiny within the enemy, it's very easy to then come and take over, or to interrupt their communication and command structure. All these techniques used in the military to make it easier to overcome the enemy force. And our enemy using that against us as well, seeking to interrupt our unity, our command, our communication. We are at war, spiritual warfare going on out there. Our enemy does not like what we're doing. But hey, we follow a God who's greater. Don't worry about the enemy. God's bigger, he's stronger, he's greater. So we had used these examples in of teamwork, of engines in the military. And what does unity look like then? Well, these are all examples, but what would it look like here together? Something else we considered. Dwelling together. When you were researching this yesterday, that verse sort of spoke to me. To dwell together, to share existence, to share life. It's like in the second chapter of Acts, where all these people are coming together and being unified. And I think that's one thing that we can really work on, spending the time together in small groups and things like that. And you're on Sunday, but outside of these walls as well, right? Checking in on each other, being there for each other, communicating, showing that you care, bringing compassion like Christ always did.
It's just working together with people who you may have a disagreement with, right? Unity isn't about always agreeing on everything. It's not, you got to have the same beliefs. You don't got to have the same political agreements. It's, you know, if you agree to disagree, you work together with people, you communicate with them. And it's just acknowledging that even though we have these differences, we serve the same God. Amen. We are all baptized into the same body, into the same spirit. Mm-hmm. There's one spirit, and we serve a living God. We serve one God. We don't serve many gods. We serve one God. And when we all were baptized, we were all adopted into his family. All of us. Not just the ones that are here, but the ones at these different churches in our own community. Even the ones in different countries that serve God. We all were adopted into the same family. And we're going to come from different sides of the spectrum. We're going to come with these different agreements. We're going to disagree on probably everything. Going forward with these action plans, I'm willing to bet that we're going to disagree on a lot of things. And that's fine. It's okay to disagree. But it's everything we disagree, we come together in agreement that, okay, you know what? We serve God, and we're going to come together, and we're going to find a way to do a better job at being a body that is united.
Differences, diversity is a strength. Jared, being a young buck, he can communicate much better with people of his own age than I can. Things like that. We all have different parts. We all have different functions. We all have different pieces. The other part I thought about unity is others greater than ourselves. Jesus' model in that. For him, it was always about other people. It wasn't about him. He who deserved all glory. But he was always serving others, always being there for others, always healing others. He was putting the others' needs way above his own. So a healthy unity looks like that as well. And we saw that in the readings as we were going through this. We're always being there for each other, considering others higher than ourselves. The last part, we had a little bit on overcoming division. At times, division does come up. And we looked at that as well, and we decided, you know, the Bible gives us instructions about approaching others in love. Approaching them in love. That's the way to do it.
I always like the, I think it's Casting Crowns that said it. And it's love move first. You know, when God created us, created people, it was out of love. He gave us free will because he loved us. He gave his son to die on a cross because he loved us, because he loved his people, all of his people. And the way we come together to bring unity, not just in our own body, but in our communities, is with love. And love is a broad topic. It isn't, love isn't necessarily agreeing. God loves us. He probably, 10 times out of 10, doesn't agree with anything that we do. Willing to bet. But he still loves us. He's patient. You know, what are the gifts of the Spirit? Patience, gentleness, kindness, mercy, grace. I mean, all these things that our own human understanding of peace is far different than God's version of peace or grace or truth or mercy. You know, it's being slow to speak. You know, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. I took a class actually this year about, the book is called Redeeming How We Talk. And the class was public speaking and interpersonal communication. This book is probably one of the best books I've ever read. And it all talked about, you know, being slow to speak, quick to listen. Because there's lots of people that are opinionated. And sometimes all someone wants to do is just have someone to listen to them. And when we talk about overcoming division, there's people out there that whose voices probably have been silenced, and all they want to do is have someone to listen to them. We have two ears for a reason. We should listen. We don't have to agree, but we should listen because their voice matters. Our voice matters. If they're listening to us, we need to give them the same respect to people who don't agree. And we listen. We listen with love, truth, mercy, kindness. And so when we talk about this overcoming of division, everything we need to do is always with love in the best way that we can. We have two ears and one mouth. And I think it's time that that we as a body start using them.
All right, introspection, another thing we need to examine ourselves before we criticize others. Jesus talked about taking the log out of our own eyes so we can remove the speck from someone else's, right? None of us is perfect. I'll sure admit I'm not. Okay, so we have to take that into account. Be patient with one another. Be patient, be humble, be understanding. Again, making it all about God and all about loving him and loving others. Any other thoughts on overcoming division?
Well, God gave us two commandments. He broke all 10 of them down into two. Love God, love people. And I think number one we sometimes forget too. How can we love others if we can't love our Father? You know, God loved us. I think it's time we start loving him. Well, we love him by loving other people. And loving, like I said earlier, it doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean you have to follow the same political denomination as everybody else. We don't even have to go to the same church. There are many denominations. I can't even count on my hands how many denominations there are. There are so many. But we all serve one God. We all love God. And we all love people. Those are the two commandments. He broke them all down. He took 1 through 10 and said, you sum it up as love God, love people.
Amen. The last thing I come up with was prayer, the importance of that. You know, pray for each other. Pray for the congregation. Pray for the body of Christ. And we'd like to end with that. So let's shalom. As individuals and as a congregation and as the body of Christ, Lord, turn us into a team, a strong and effective team for you, with you as the captain, Lord, where we are following you, where we each have our part in the team, like Jared said, where we can work together in unity.
Like Mike talked about the hospitals, you know, if maybe we need a checkup. I need a checkup. We all need a checkup. And if you've been searching for a checkup with the Father, and you've been carrying something, let him have it. Search yourselves, test yourselves, and run to the Father.
Lord, you have given each of us different gifts. God, help us to identify the opportunities that we have to use those gifts to your glory, where we can be a part of this congregation or part of this team effectively, where we can just take joy in working in our operations, like that cook that Jared mentioned there, Lord. Let us find that place, our place, in your team, Lord.
Show us how to love one another.
Yes.
Guide our hearts, guide our minds, Father. Show us how we can serve you and serve others for building your kingdom.
Lord, as a team and a congregation, show us where we can be of most effect for your kingdom, where we can make a difference in this community and this world, Lord. Lead us into those situations and those places. And help us to recruit others for the team as well, Lord. That we can reach out effectively to other people that maybe don't know you or need to be reawakened, reignited, Lord. Give us the opportunities to do those, Lord, and help us to follow through.
Put a fire in our hearts, God, for people. For redeeming our voices, redeeming how we talk to one another, Lord. Show us how to listen first and speak second.
Lord, help us to remember that it's always all about you, not about us. That we can work together effectively to serve you. You know the plan, Lord. You are the commanding general. You know where we need to be, what we need to do. So, Lord, give us ears to hear, to listen, and a heart to follow. Amen.